whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Everything you want to do, you want to be a top 5 team in the NFL, and certainly third down is very important. We've emphasized that. Try to identify the areas not only that we need to improve, but where we think we can be better. And, you know, and I'm saying that is, what do we do well and where can we kind of focus our energy, if that makes sense? And obviously we're working on it constantly. Guys are aware and they understand the importance of getting off the field on third down.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, happy Tuesday. It's playoff week. You can give us a call if you want, 803-0550.
Bills, playoff week. Let's
Bills
go.
Bills and Broncos. So, all right.
Without a backup quarterback playing on the other side.
Yeah. No Mason Rudolph, no...
Skylar Thompson.
Philip Rivers.
Skylar Thompson played them in a playoff game.
Bo Nix.
Mac
you
Jones.
Know, 5 years from now, Bo Nix could be one of the better quarterbacks they've beaten in a playoff if he continues to ascend and be good. You know, just saying. Mahomes, too. They beat Mahomes.
Burrow. That one would be nice.
Lamar. Those would be nice also. Yeah.
Well, Burrow, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back here, so... Got to get in.
Probably next year.
Yeah, so probably.
So, quick thing on the Bills. One thing about this year's Bills team that's different from years past, in my opinion, is the disparity between how good their offense and how good their defense is. Their offense is very good, and their defense, I do not believe, is. I am worried about the defense. And, Listen, there are a million stats you can go into, a million things. Why do I like Ben Baldwin's charts? Because they give me a picture of the league. And like zoom out, and what are these teams doing? And he just had one that I wanted. I actually kind of I humbly asked him to do something, and he didn't, but this is what he does anyway. Something very similar to this. Watching the Saturday games, what are they talking about? Turnover differential. Oh, turnovers. You got to get turnovers. Turnover differential. It's endlessly talked about. I want punt differential, because punts are turnovers. If you get Patrick Mahomes to punt the ball to you 6 times, that's great. You don't need 6 interceptions. I've got an offense that can score from anywhere. Josh Allen can do everything. So just get me the ball. Punts. Part of the problem with all the turnovers, this is built in, but we'll get to this. So he has, Ben Baldwin, defensive series results and offensive series results. You get a 1st and 10. How often is the opposing team getting a 1st down against you on 1st and 10? And the Bills in that department rank where in the NFL? The opposing team gets, he's got 1st downs, touchdowns, field goals, punts, and turnovers. You don't have to play the guessing game. I can just tell you if you
middle of the pack, slightly below.
26th.
It's pretty bad.
There's one other thing that's kind of built in here. 26th in the NFL defensively. How often 1st and 10 turns into 1st and 10 again? Now, we know this. Their third down defense has been awful this year. So, what the playoffs are going to have to bring, if the Bills are going to go far, the offense stays what it is, and the defense finds some answers. One of those answers might be turnovers. They are number 2 in the league, the Bills, in percentage of drives their defense faces that result in a turnover. 2.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where they are in punts? Percentage of drives where the Bills force a punt.
Ooh. Low?
31st.
Very low.
Part of that's because of the turnovers. If you turn a team over, they can't punt it to you. So you almost want to combine. If punts are turnovers, let's combine the two. All right. They look okay if you do that. But it's not a great defense. There are some, obviously, sources for concern. They don't give up a ton of touchdowns, but they get chewed up. They are more bendy than they have been in years past of bend but don't break. They are more bendy. Offensively, where do they rank in this very similar stat? Number 2 in the NFL.
Yeah.
Percentage of drives that turn into a 1st down, number 2. The Lions are 1, the Bills are 2. So to me, one story about this defense and this season is, I almost want to say, going in, we should have realistic expectations for the defense and for McDermott. If he produces for them a defense in the playoffs, if he and Bobby Babbage, who we just heard from there, if they are a middle-of-the-road defense of the playoffs, that's a win. I think that's a win. You have,
you're saying out of the crop of 14 teams, like if they're like,
do you want me to tell
in
you?
In the middle of all of them?
Well, yeah. Here are where the playoff teams rank.
Yeah.
Defensive series results. Denver, 2.
Mm-hmm.
Philly, 3. Houston, 4. Minnesota, 5. Chargers, 6. Steelers, 9. Lions, 11. Packers, 12. Ravens, 13.
Bucks, Ravens, that was the one I was waiting for.
Ravens, 13. Bucks, 16. Chiefs, 18.
Okay.
Commanders, 24. Rams, 25. Bills, 26. You're way down. You should go in expecting you have, I mean, which is odd. You have one of the weaker defenses in the postseason, the way that you've played this year.
Yeah.
So it's simultaneously to say, like, hey, cut McDermott some slack if they're not perfect. Because, and cut Babbage some slack if they're not perfect. Because we've seen this year that they've got their share of issues that they're trying to overcome. The defense has been in transition, whether that's injury at linebacker, a little bit of upheaval at safety. The defensive line is not consistently giving you what you hope. So my expectations for the offense are sky high. And on the defense, I just need you to keep the games alive.
Well, the good news is you can win the Super Bowl with a, if you can get middle of the pack, you can win the Super Bowl with a middle of the pack defense.
Yes, that's right.
You can't do it with a middle of the pack offense. You can do it with a middle of the pack defense. And there's a Chief, I don't remember which of the Super Bowl years it is, but there's a Chief team that won the Super Bowl that was 24th in defense that year. So you can do it, but you also, I feel, if you are going to have a defense that is subpar, you've got to allow your offense, you'll be willing to let your offense carry you. And the scary thing for me, I guess the good news is the way Joe Brady talked about as many possessions for Josh Allen as possible, that's a good sign. The bad sign and the terrifying thing for me would be if McDermott thinks, and Babbage, you know, both of them, if they go into the playoffs thinking that their defense is about to get lit up, my fear is that they're going to do what they did last year.
They're going to
take away.
But they're not going to do that
from the offense. They shouldn't do it.
They're not going to do it.
They shouldn't do it.
There's really no.
But what if the there's
just no way they're going to do that.
Then why did they do it last year?
Because they had AJ Klein playing. This time around,
but if you're getting the same results as if AJ Klein was playing, then what's the difference?
This time they're healthy. The difference is they went in knowing we are in trouble. We should plan for trouble.
Are we saying that's the same thing they should be planning for right now?
No, because they're healthy and they probably think they have answers. Whereas when you have AJ Klein out there against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, you probably would say we actually don't have an answer.
They were throwing their hands up and saying there's nothing we can do.
We got to try anything we can to change the way the game is played.
So now the difference is again, like I'm not even thinking though it's because they learned, maybe that's true too, that they learned their lesson from the Chief loss last year. It would be more so the idea that they think they could pull a better defense out than what they've showed in like these numbers, that they're going to have better results than that. Hey, whatever gets them to that result, whatever gets them to letting their offense do what they do and not worrying about holding onto the ball too long and limiting possessions and playing like they did last year against Kansas City, whatever gets me to that result. And if it's because they think their defense is better than it is, fine.
Well, you also might get a spot where, you know, you're saying ball control, long drives. That's kind of been what they are. I mean, they are not at least not that often, hitting teams over the top for two-play drives.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams, I mean, it's been harder to do that than really ever in years past, with defenses adjusting and forcing all these teams to go on and on and on for the long drives. Actually, speaking of that, do you remember back in the early part of the season when the story was that passing is dead?
Yeah.
And running is back?
And Mel Kiper wanted to ban safeties or something?
Yes.
Too high safeties.
To that point, this year in the NFL, there were 809 touchdown passes. That's up from last year. And interceptions, Here's a point about turnovers and punts that, I mean, again, like as I laid out there, the Bills are good. They've turned the ball over. That's good. I don't know if you can count on that in the postseason because the quarterbacks get better, right? Each and every week you can play, whether it's Mac Jones or, well, I didn't play him this year, rookie quarterbacks, this and that. Like, you can turn guys over. In the playoffs, it might be harder to do so. This year in the NFL, there were the fewest interceptions thrown since 1982.
Wow.
Yeah. Quarterbacks are better at protecting the ball.
And obviously, 1982, they would have been throwing the ball half the time.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the same amount of interceptions maybe on, like, 40% of the attempts.
387 interceptions, fewest since 1982, which was a strike season. Which is why I'm always looking at your defense. And listen, turnovers are great, but I want to see how often you force punts, because I think it's easier to buy the idea you will force a team to punt five times than turn them over three.
Yeah.
And in all scenarios, I've got Josh Allen, I'm getting the ball. So they've got to find out whatever they can, whatever the game plan is, however healthy they can get. Damar Hamlin starting at safety. We know that. McDermott said that yesterday, right? So,
yep.
All right. See how this all goes, how they piece it together. Healthy at the right time. No excuse about street free agent linebackers. But going in, we should probably expect shootouts, right? Denver scores on their first drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that unusual for this season. Teams have scored early on the Bills, and then they shut it down in the second half, and they make their adjustments.
Yep.
But bend but don't break. I am prepared for Denver, who is one of the weaker offenses to make it, to have some success. And I think if they're going to beat Baltimore, it's going to be a shootout. I think
I can't imagine them beating Baltimore if it's not a shootout.
I think the offense,
it's at least, like, it doesn't have to be 45-40, but like
27-24.
At least.
Right.
At
low least. End. I think we are in for, the offense is going to have to carry this team, and the defense is going to be about making like five plays.
Well, and do we think the offense is capable of that right now?
I do.
Because that's where I feel more confident heading into this postseason than last postseason. Because last postseason, I just don't think you're going to get through a playoffs unless your offense is rolling. And last year, it was running the ball, and we're going to play more low-scoring games at the end, and just everything's going to be to not turn the ball over. They didn't look dangerous. They didn't have the personnel to play that way. Right, like, I remember all those screens they threw to Diggs, and just like, this is not the guy for that. This is not his thing. And now they're doing that with Shakir and Samuel a little bit, the running backs too, and like, that does work.
And Coleman on Sunday.
And Coleman,
they threw one to Coleman on Sunday, and I like that.
Coleman's had screens throughout the year that have worked.
Yep.
So right, like, they're better built maybe to play that way. And I do think Cooper being here, they're taking an occasional shot a little more often second half of the season. So I'm more confident, because even though the defense might, you know, you could say look weaker going in, I feel like their offense is capable. I think it could, four games together where the quarterback is hot and the play caller knows what he's doing and the weapons are good enough, the line is amazing. Like, to me, it all offensively looks like it's time for them to go carry this thing home.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550
The only thing I'm still in the back of my mind offensively is, are they going to get in a spot where they need one guy to kind of show out?
If they have that, all right, here you go. This is a fun game. Fun game. It is
biggest.
Doesn't matter, they're down.
Yeah.
They're down four.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the 9-yard line.
Okay.
They need a touchdown. 1 second on the clock. Who's the ball getting thrown to if Allen doesn't run it himself? Because, I mean, of course, Allen would probably... Who's the ball get thrown to?
Well, it'd be tough to run it from the 9, wouldn't it? He might.
Him? He ran it from the 20...
I know.
He ran it from the 26.
Yeah.
How far out do I got to go? I have an answer here for this. Here's my...
Yeah? Like a confident answer in it? Because
yes.
I think it's...
Here's my...
Could be anybody.
Here's my bold prediction for the playoffs.
Ty Johnson?
No.
Just kidding. He did throw a jump ball.
Write it down.
9:17 a.m.
Tuesday. My bold prediction for the playoffs.
Can you the guy he's throwing to,
yep,
on one play to go,
yep,
from the 9-yard line, they need a touchdown?
Yes.
What are you going to say here? Coleman?
I'm going to say Coleman. I'm going to say that all year long, they've practiced that. Listen, Coleman, that The jumping catch against the Jets is cool.
Yeah.
Earlier in the game when they threw to him on the goal line and he said, put it up higher.
Uh-huh.
That is a confident receiver who is simply saying to his quarterback, and the message I'm sure all week is, dude, I want you to try and throw it over me. Mm-hmm. I'll get it. And it, listen, he's not the perfect number one receiver that's going to separate and do all those things. But he does have the above-the-rim basketball. He's getting higher than anybody that covers him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about him is so far, defensive coordinators are not often shading help his way.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
The defensive coordinators out there put their corners on an island against him and say, he's not going to separate, stay on him, blah, blah, blah. And if you can get the ball to him up, who can get it from him? I think it might be, as much as I mean, I'm not here to tell you I love fade passes because I don't. They're often low percentage. They're often mistakes.
Yeah.
But if you throw it to that guy, I think it's different. So I'm kind of prepared for Coleman to have big, big plays in this postseason. I think they will need him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they will lean on him if they have to.
I'm less confident
who would it be?
In that.
Who's your better answer? It can't be a tight end. It can't be a tight end.
In that specific outcome, I would say I'm less confident that he'll be a regular feature, regular contributor on their offense. He'll be on the field, and maybe he'll get a catch or two every game they play. But leaning into him, I don't know that he's giving you the pop play. He's giving you the highlight reel play every once in a while to remind you, man, look at what he can do. The Jet play, the Seahawk play against Tariq Woolen. He is reminding you once in a while, man, there is some real talent in there. But he is 85th in the league in contested catch percentage this year. Like, it is not consistent. He has drops. It's rocky. And by the way, this wasn't new. He had bad numbers in contested catch in college. It's just the ones he hits on are insane.
Well,
they're
that's
amazing,
the play.
And they are some catches. Like the 27%, some of that is those are contested catches maybe nobody else can make.
That's
or very few can. But
a contested catch is any play where a defensive back is in close to you, on you, and that's
so,
not what this would be.
So I'm not saying you're wrong and that he would throw that ball to Coleman in that spot. I just would not be super confident that he's coming down with it.
I think it's the best play they might have at the 9-yard line.
Cooper's making contested catches maybe more consistently.
Maybe. Let's go to Zoe in Buffalo. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, thanks for having me. I do agree with you. At the 9-yard line, I will take that any day. As long as, like you said, he put it over his head. If he put it over his head, he's coming down with it. Nobody could jump up with him. Also, like you said, nobody's shading over to him for help. He's great with yards after catch. If you give him a quick slant or a screen pass, nobody really most likely is not tackling him one-on-one. A lot of his tackles always been with two other players tackling him, taking him down. He's like a bigger version of a Deebo Samuel. And some of his, more ladder drill, getting his feet up, because some of his route running, too, is, you know, he's slipping, he's getting his feet tangled up. And I think that'll come better as year two and year three of him getting his feet work on the off season, that he have more control and more separation right now. Like, you don't need to be the fastest, but his frame, and if you got the speed, you still feel that you're behind him because he could box you out and put you behind him.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think when he is making those catches, that is how it looks, which is why, you know, I also do wonder, you know, as we're describing, like, Coleman and some of these plays he makes, and as you say, like, Allen and Coleman, like, hey, throw the ball higher. He might be more consistent on those ones. I would wonder, I'd have to go through and, like, look at all the contested catches that he's caught or dropped on the year. Doesn't it feel like the ones he's dropping are in the breadbasket? Like, it's last week, or 2 weeks ago in the Jets, he's working back to the football. Allen makes that incredible throw on the run.
Hits him in the hands.
It hits him in the low. Hits him in the chest or the belly almost. Like, I wonder if the ones he's more inconsistent on are more like that than just, hey, put it up high and I'll catch it.
Well, this is a spot where the corner, that he might see, I mean, whatever, Surtain might move all around the field. He might be on Cooper. He might be on Coleman. Whoever Surtain is covering, you might want to just, like, remove from the progression. Like, don't, you're not throwing at that guy. The other guy is...
Allen, he threw it to Tariq Woolen.
Tariq Woolen is not...
You wanted to make a bet early in the year that he was going to try to moss Jalen Ramsey in a game.
That's right.
I just...
Neither of those players...
He's a crazy person.
Neither of them is Patrick Surtain. The DVOA of Surtain versus the other corner on the Broncos is like... It's a gulf. It's huge.
Yeah.
And the other corner is... Here you go. So, Aaron Schatz had this. Coverage DVOA when Surtain is covering your wide receiver number one. This is the only problem with like these fancy numbers. Like, I don't know what's a good number, what's a bad number.
Right.
Anyway, it's a minus 41%. And when somebody else covers that same receiver for Denver, it's a plus 25.
That's a huge. Yeah,
that's a massive gap. Difference. So, if you're the Bills who have two outside guys that aren't necessarily true number ones, you know, Cooper's pretty good. Coleman looks like a very solid young number two.
Mm-hmm.
If they put Surtain on Cooper, I now have Keon Coleman against 6'0" Riley Moss.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 inches before the reach and the jump. And I just think if they go Riley Moss on Coleman, I mean, ooh, I think Coleman can win on Sunday.
That's a good call. I want to look quickly. I can find like the who was covering who. The numbers from 2 weeks ago, that Bengals-Broncos game, because...
Oh, they threw on Riley Moss all day.
I want to know how much Higgins was on him, because Higgins, he's not perfectly comparable to Coleman, but it's bigger body, you know, there's contested catch stuff. He went nuts in that game. And I would imagine, before I find the numbers, that Chase was, that Surtain was on Chase for much of that game. But I'll find it.
They don't always shadow, and that's the point. Whenever, if Surtain on some plays was over on Higgins, then they would throw to Chase on Riley Moss. Riley Moss, I mean, I almost want to call him embattled Riley Moss, because there's a story in Sports Illustrated. The Broncos defensive coordinator defends Riley Moss, toughest guy in our defense. Like, the Broncos are feeling like they have to defend this guy because he gets picked on, because he's the other guy. He's not Patrick Surtain.
Right.
So he has a tough job in that, hey, see the guy on the other side of the field? Yeah, he's so good they will look at you on every play instead. So buckle up your chin strap. You're going to be targeted a lot, and teams that have a good enough weapon over there are going to throw it at you.
Here we go. Riley Moss, 2 weeks ago when they played the Bengals, T. Higgins, when covered by Riley Moss, had 8 targets, 7 catches, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
That's a 6'4", 215-pound receiver,
yeah,
on the outside winning that matchup all day.
Here's the total numbers from that game. Moss, everybody included. Moss was targeted 15 times, 11 catches, 128 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Surtain in that game targeted 7 times, 4 catches, 34 yards. Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a massive gulf.
So that's Joe Brady, that's Josh Allen today. When the ball goes to receivers, it probably goes away from Surtain. All right, 803-0550. Look at us. Just, you know, X's and O's, baby.
Yeah.
It's only Tuesday.
I know. We gotta save some.
Bring on the game. Benjamin Albright.
Benjamin Albright.
On, yeah, the Broncos. We can ask him about Riley Moss, who, again, not saying he's a bad player, but when you're not Surtain, you're going to get the targets. So Benjamin Albright, when we get back, on the Broncos as they come into this game. It's coming up here. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.